The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Mark Graham Ministries.
Equipping the church with the Word of God. Come see us at the Word.
Covenant that Jesus established. Jesus came to do something that Moses could not do. If Moses had been perfect, he would have entered into the promised land. Glory be to God. Satan, I rebuke you. I'm going to preach with freedom and liberty in my own house this morning. I'm telling you right now, that spirit of religion is trying to creep up. It's not going to be victorious today. Because I'm telling you, when you get a revelation that Jesus has provided something better for you, Jesus has provided a better way for you. Man always wants to put his twist on it. Man always wants to put his 2 cents in on it. You know, how many of you are aware that when the children of Israel were in the desert, that because they disobeyed God, that God sent serpents and they began to bite them? And they got sick. Anybody read that story? And so God instructed Moses to make a brass image of 2 serpents and lift it up on a pole. When it's lifted up, the people were to look at it. When they looked on it, they would be healed. Anybody remember that story? And what happens now is when you get over to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, you see now how that Hezekiah is king. And while Hezekiah is king, one of the first things he does is to destroy the brazen image that Moses had built. Because the children of Israel were taking a thing that God had blessed them with. Now they're bypassing God. They've called it what they want to call it, and they're worshiping that instead of worshiping God. Let me tell you, God is the only one that is worthy of your praise today. God, oh glory, God is the only one that is worthy of your worship today. Not your car, not your house, not your education, not your friends, not your family, not your kids. Glory. Now I said not your kids, not your husband, not your wife. God is who is worthy of all your praise and all your glory. This book of the law, we don't live under that law, but everything we read in the Old Testament, we should be able to see Jesus in the New Testament. We are New Testament believers. How many of you are saved now because of what Jesus had done? We are saved now because of what he has done. Yet if we look at all the things that's transpired where God has spoken to people, and even through the law, we can see a picture of Jesus all the way through. So even in this passage that God says to Joshua 1:8, you shall meditate. What? On that book of the law. But because we're not under the law, we're under grace. What are we going to meditate on? We're going to meditate on Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to meditate on what Jesus has done. We're going to think on the goodness of the Lord. Come on now, somebody. If our bodies are sick, we're going to think about how Jesus took that beating for us so that by his stripes we can be healed. Come on, are you hearing me right now? If we're living in a world where society and the economy is plunging deeper down, we're not going to meditate on how bad it is. We're going to think about how Jesus became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Come on, are you hearing me in here today? Somebody shout, think on Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, you have to think on Jesus. What are we doing? We're meditating on him. We're meditating not on what we want to happen, but what has happened. Let me tell you, Jesus has finished it. When he said, it is finished, it was more than just saying, I'm ready to die. Let me give it up. That means it was done. It is finished. My healing is finished. My salvation is finished. My prosperity is finished. The saving of my household is finished. Glory be to God. I'm just wondering how some of you that say, oh yeah, it's hallelujah. But you're sitting there like you have no show of emotion. If I handed you $1 million, you would run and shout. But I'm handing you something that even $1 million can't do today. I'm handing you an eternal reward that your life will be changed forever. Woo! Glory be to God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just say this from Wednesday night. When I meditate on what Jesus has done, I am doing something. Well, I just feel like I need to do something. Meditate on what Jesus has done. You're doing something. I said Wednesday night, that's one of my new favorite sayings. I need to do something. I am doing something. I'm believing. Glory to God. Let's just tell the truth. Have you ever been in a situation where all you could do was believe? That's it. There was nowhere else to turn to. No other thing. Nobody to ask. Nobody to borrow. Nowhere else to get it from. No, the doctor couldn't do it for you. The banker couldn't do it for you. All you had left was just to believe. And isn't it in that, glory to God. Am I the only one that's been like that before? If you know what I'm talking about, come on, be a witness today. Have you ever been in that situation and so now you're believing, but Satan wants to make you feel that you're inferior because you're just believing? As in your believing is not enough. Glory to God. I want to tell you, your believing is not just enough. It's more than enough. If you can believe, all things are possible. I said, if you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. I'm preaching way better than your amen. All things are possible. If you can believe. I am doing something. I'm believing. I said, let me just take, okay, thank you, Lord. Let me just pause, Father, the Holy Spirit. How many of you today have a situation going on that you need God to show up in that situation? Huh? Okay. Woo, you would think it'd be a lot. Okay. I don't care if it's finances, healing, restoration, family. Somewhere in your life, there's a situation you need God to show up in. Huh? Okay, while your hand is up, I want you to shout out, I am doing something. I'm believing. Oh, come on. I want you to make a believer. I am doing something. I'm believing. The devil wants to tell you that's not working. The devil wants to tell you give up. The devil wants to tell you you're a loser. You can't make it. I want to tell you, you are more than able. You are more than a conqueror. Because you're not trusting in what you can do. You're trusting in what Jesus has already done. The price is already paid. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Shout it out again. I am doing something. I'm believing. Say it. I'm believing. Say, I'm a believer. Come on. Say, I'm a believer. Look down and say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Tell your neighbor, I'm a believer. Now, I'm going to give you a little test. I'm going to give you a little schoolwork here. When I tell you to, I want you to look at somebody, and I want you to tell them, I'm a believer. And whoever says that to you, I want you to answer them, I believe you, or no, I don't believe you. Because that's what's happening to us. That's what's happening to us. We're saying to the devil, I'm a believer. And the devil's looking at how you're acting in your face and your exchange and your words. Not what you do in here, but what you do at home. And the devil's saying, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. Because if you really did believe, you'd believe more than when the pastor's preaching. If that really is your confession, you confess it more than just when I'm in trouble. So I want to give you a little, I want you to do it right now. I want you to look at somebody And I want you to tell them, I am a believer. And then whoever you says it to you, I want you to give them the answer. Come. And if they respond with, I believe you, you ought to have a little shout that it's not just you, but it is believable that you are a believer. 1, 2, 3, tell them. What'd they say about you? What'd they say about you? You notice that when Jesus pulls up in the boat to the man that was in the tombs running around cutting himself, when Jesus stepped on the ground, the demons in the man come out of the tomb screaming and crying. Why? Even the devil knew. Even the devil believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I want to tell you what he has done for you. It's not a hoping, a wishing well. You're not taking faith and dropping it down in the wishing well. Wait for it to go at the bottom of the well. I want to tell you that what Jesus has done is a finished work. It is done, baby. Every price has been paid for you. Everything that was set against you has been canceled by the blood of Jesus. Woo! Glory be to God. Every charge that was put against you has been canceled. The supreme judge said, case dismissed, when Satan came accusing your life. Chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Boy, are y'all seeing what I'm trying to show you today? It's finished. While you turn to Hebrews 11, just shout it. It's finished. Boy, I shouted so much, I already broke my new cufflink. You better shout good. If I'm breaking my cufflink, glory. I was so proud of those things. I thought they'd make it through more than one Sunday. Hebrews chapter 11. When you get there, shout, I'm there. Now, I want to give you something the Holy Spirit said to me. When you mix the law of the old covenant with the grace of the new covenant, it equals frustration. Glory. When you mix the law of the old covenant with the grace of the new covenant, it equals frustration. Let me make that plain. What does that mean? You're over here trying to merit, trying to earn his love. Glory. Heaven is like, I love you. Do you love me, Lord? I love you. What can I do to earn your love? I love you. But now the frustration even comes. Now Satan wants you to begin to think that you cannot do enough to earn his love. Well, there actually is truth in that. You cannot do enough to earn his love. That's what grace is. It's unearned. Come on now. This ain't like I'm preaching week one. Unmerited. Undeserved. You're right, Satan. I don't deserve it. But because I am loved. You know, it's awesome because last week here I'm preaching to it, except Pastor Linda, one other lady, to an all-black assembly. And the Holy Spirit tells me to say this. Today I'm here. I'm called here to minister on racial reconciliation. But I want you to know that the day I say yes to Jesus, I was cut off from the white Caucasian race, and I was adopted into the family of God. And now the blood that runs through my body is not German or Indian. Oh my God. Native American. It's called the blood of Jesus. I've been accepted, not by black or white or Hispanic or Asian, but I've been accepted into the beloved. Woo! How many King's kids are in here today? About half of you. How many King's kids are in here? Let me say it like this. How many princes and princesses are in here right now? Yeah, tell your neighbor he's talking about me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. Yeah, thanks, Doc. Look, read with me. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received what? Not the promise. We're talking about the old covenant, those that died in the old covenant. But God, having provided some better thing for us. Who is us? That's us. Glory to God. I'm not even an English teacher, and I can tell you us means us. To us. He has provided something better for us. That they, who's they? Us. Without us should not be made perfect. Now, look over at the Amplified. I love this. In all of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. Watch this. Because God had us in mind. Oh, my goodness. And he had something better and greater in view for us. Boy, that ought to excite you. I mean, that ought to excite you. So that they, these heroes and heroines of faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Look at that. God had us in mind, and he had something better and greater in view for us. When Jesus is dying, he sees you. You're like, what? Yes, he saw you. When the stripes are taken on his back, he sees you. When the nails are being put in his hands and feet, he sees you. Right here, 4301 Cedar Am. On Sunday morning at 11:50, he saw you. So now, the reason that's hard for us to accept, because we want to say, my own daddy didn't see me. My own daddy disappointed me. My own mama disappointed me. My husband disappointed me. My wife disappointed me. I've been abandoned. I've been cut off. I've been left out by myself. But I want to tell you, you cannot judge our Father by any man of this earth. You're going to have to stop trying to judge Jesus by the failures of everybody else. Oh, my goodness, hear me. And realize that while you was yet a sinner, Jesus saw you. God had us in mind. And he provided something better. Something better. How many of you in your life right now need something better? Your relationship needs to be better. Your health needs to be better. Your finances need to be better. When we say relationships, people automatically think we're talking about husbands and wives. Relationships have to do with everybody. Glory, are you hearing me right now? Our relationships need to be better. Everything around us needs to be better. How does it get better? We see and meditate on what he has done. He's already done it. It's already done. Let's go to another wonderful scripture. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. I want to read that out of the Amplified. Let me, real quick, I'm just going to read out of the King James. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That's just like very King James-ish. Yeah, okay, maybe that was just me. But when you read that in the Amplified, just that one single verse, look what it says. In keeping with the oath's greater strength and force, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better, stronger agreement, a more excellent and more advantageous covenant. This covenant that we live under, called the New Covenant, is to our advantage. To where the old covenant was to their disadvantage. The old covenant was to show you how you did not add up, how you could never be that way. But in the new covenant, Jesus has dismissed our efforts. He has, oh my God, he has dismissed what I think He, look what he says in John chapter 15. You did not chose me. I chose you. Meaning what? You're not really as important as you thought you was. That's a revelation to somebody in here. Meaning what? Before your vote even mattered, he went ahead and chose you. While you were yet a sinner, he chose you. While you were running around crazy, before you start thinking about, I need to be a good parent, I need to be a good husband, a good wife, I need to have a job, I need to be someone of stature in my community. When you was acting dumb, he chose you. Before your mama and daddy ever even had that glistle in their eye towards one another, he chose you. The Bible said that before the world was even framed, the Lamb of God was slain. He chose you without needing your choice of him to be an option. And the only thing that you have to do is, can you believe? That's it. Well, it takes more than that. Romans 10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's it. But hold on. There's got to be more. No, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to wear a suit. I'm wearing a suit because I finally can wear a size this size, and I'm wearing it because I want to wear it. But it don't matter if you came in blue jeans. Come on. We're not telling you how to dress. We're just asking you, please be modest. Come on. Be in order. Don't praise God and let everybody see everything Jesus gave you. Cover all that up. We're not trying to be ugly with nobody. There's no rules and regulations. We're not trying to tell you, do this, do this, do this, do this. And this equals heaven. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. I got to what? Believe. But I'm still doing it, and I got this going on, and I'm going to just believe. Believe. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Can y'all tell I've been reading a lot out of the book of Hebrews? Well, good. You should read it too. I mean, I've just been reading this thing over and over and over again because being raised in a denomination, the way I was raised, even though it wasn't said directly to you, indirectly you are led to believe that there are many of these things. You have to do this and this and this and this and this to be good enough to be called, be qualified, be sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to do all these things to equal this. I want to tell you, if you can believe, I was preaching somewhere not too long ago, and they said, they quartered me up in the corner and said, well, what do you think about tattoos? And I said, personal opinion, I don't want one. Probably because I can't get blood took at the hospital without passing out. So how am I going to let somebody with a needle just be like, I can't even watch Inked on TV. I was with Pastor Linda, she got a little ear piercing, and they went, and when I just almost lost it in the mall, I ran and threw Psych Center. Just that sound, you know. They're trying to give me an IV. So they put that, you know, what's a little thing they put in to give you an IV? Starts with an H. Yes, hip lock. And they're trying to give me that. And they say, oh, he's got rolling veins. I'm like. And they're like, stick one, miss. Hold on. Stick two. They did like three or four times. And finally, I'm just like, I'm out. Pastor Linda says, is he all right? They say, yes. Hurry, get it while he's out. That's a true story. True story. Well, I just can't stand it. I don't want to be in there when they watch. I don't want to watch them do it to you. When I had my surgery, they said, you're going to feel, we're going to give you that. I was like, oh, God. was off in the spirit. I was shakalaba, rabba, shakalaba. And the lady's like, we're done. Oh, glory. And the guy says, you know, they got me spread out like this on the table. My arms are in a little holder over here. My arms are in a little holder over here. And I'm laying down. And the guy says, now you're going to feel something kind of cold coming, you know, through you. And he's going, and he starts walking to me. And I was like, oh, God. I'm like, Jesus, I'm stretched out. It's, I thought that was it. But, you know, then the next thing I wake up and everything was done. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. If you need to do something to me, put me out. Do whatever you need to do. I go to Dr. Neesmith. It's known when I walk in there, if we got to do anything, if we turn the machine on, it goes, it does not matter. Get some gas. Let him snore, then go to work. That's how we do things. We try to put all this weight on ourselves of what we got to do to be right, what we got to do to be accepted. We are accepted in the beloved. Why is it that our minds cannot perceive the idea that just simply saying yes to the Lord is enough? Let me back it up. Why is it that our minds just cannot perceive saying yes to the Lord is enough? I shared this with somebody earlier today. Miss Connie, that's who it was in class, before class started. It's because we've been programmed to think that all these things must be correct. I must be the perfect person. I don't say this, I don't say that, now I'm accepted. Okay. I want to tell you something today, not to reveal something, I don't want to say something to you to make you go, oh. I just want to be, some people say, preachers aren't transparent. Let me be transparent and tell you, I still say dumb stuff. Now you're sitting there looking at me like you don't, but I bet if I spent some time with you at your house, I bet you slam a door once in a while. I bet you holler once in a while. I bet you see some socks on the floor or a pair of drawers and you pick them up and throw them because why is people doing this? I bet everyone in here, no, I've been more than bet. I guarantee you that if we spent time at your house and saw the real you, not the church you, but the real you, you got a whole lot of stuff going on you ain't really let everybody know about. And now what happens? We try to say, is it really as easy? No, because we've been programmed. That's why when someone who's not been to church, who doesn't know anything about God, you say, believe. This person's ready to go to the ends of the world. They're ready to sell it all, cash it all in, give it all to Jesus. They're ready to do whatever. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. But think back, some of you remember that time when that's the way you was. How can you go from that's the way I was to now I live my life by regulations and rules? And because somewhere along in the way our mentality has been formed to think that this is really harder than what it is. Living for Jesus is not hard. It's not. But here's a victorious place in living for Jesus. I have to believe more in what he has done for me than what I'm doing for him. I cannot trust. Well, he's going to come through because I prayed and I read my word and I did this and I was at church on Sunday. Lord, you know I'm always at church on Sunday. The devil's always at church on Sunday too. Okay. You know, how many of you saw that movie, Passion of the Christ? Anybody saw it? Huh? You saw that movie? Do you see, you really, like you watched it. Not like, well, I know about it. You actually watched that movie, right? I found it very, like, yeah, that's right. How everywhere Jesus was, They had that black cloaked, what made you think is the devil, you know, walking around in the back of everybody, whispering to people. I thought that was pretty realistic to how things go. Because even while you're walking out this thing for God, Satan is always trying to sneak somebody or something in to want to get you to deny what God has said. Get you to deny that God is real. Get you to deny God's plan for your life. But what do you have to do? Believe. You have to believe more in Him, in what He has done, than you believe in anything else. Hebrews 9:15. Look at this. Hebrews 9:15. Christ the Messiah is therefore the negotiator and mediator of an entirely new agreement. Somebody say it's brand new. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor there's no bit of the new agreement. Okay, I'm sorry. That wasn't very... Let me instruct you a little better. None of the new agreement contains any of the old. He is... That was better, wasn't it? I kind of had it confused for a minute. He is the mediator of an entirely new agreement, testament, covenant, so that those who are called and offered it may receive the fulfillment of the promised everlasting inheritance. Since a death has taken place which rescues and delivers and redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first old agreement. Let me just call it quits right there today and say this. I'm not believing in what I can do good. I'm believing that when Jesus died for me and He paid the price for me, that He gave me a better way to live. So I'm trusting and I'm believing, not that, well, Mark Graham, you're going to succeed. Mark Graham, you're going to be awesome. Whatever I am what I am by the grace of God. Meaning it's not about what I can do. It's all about what He has already done. Somebody shout, it's already done. No, you're saying it like you're trying to convince yourself. I want to know if there's anybody in here right now that you believe it is already done. Woo! I mean, you believe my body has to be made whole because Jesus already paid the penalty of sickness and disease. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It can't be that easy. Yes, it is. It's already done. It's already done. The way it's enforced is that a death has to take place. Jesus died. He died till the sun turned dark. He died till the moon turned to blood. He died. That's like old-fashioned preaching right there. He died till the graves burst open. What was happening in His death? He was securing in His death that when He rose to new life, that you and I would rise to new life with Him. So why we can't do away with some of these songs we sing. Yes, some of them were incorrect, but some of them were more revelation than what we even thought. In living, He loved me. In dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. But rising, He justified. And He freed me forever. Woo! You're looking at me, I'm looking at you, because I'm wondering why you do not have the excitement that I have. When I think about what has been done for me, when I think about how He paid the price for me, when I think about the cross that He bore for me and the beating that He took for me, when I think about the goodness of God and all He's done, my soul cries. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo! Now I'm a recipient of a better covenant. I have a better covenant established upon better promises. Because a death was required, He became that sacrifice. The penalty was death. He said, I'll do it. You couldn't have done that, neither could I. I couldn't have gave up my son. I couldn't even give up my own life. I'm not going to lie. I love you, but I'm not dying like that for you. People tell other people all the time, well, I'd take a bullet for you. I'd take a grenade for you. Whatever, you're a liar, you would not. You'd be like, run! Because those stories are very few and far between of those guys like Dave Reaver. You ever heard Dave Reaver, preacher? That actually fell on a grenade so his whole battalion could be saved. Those stories are few and far between. Meaning that, yes, people, there are people who do it, but that is not the majority's consent. Most are like, every man for himself. You know I'm telling the truth. So we're going to say all these things about, I do this, I do that. No, well, you, let's just give you the benefit of the doubt that you might would. But would you take a beating from 9 a.m. till 3 in the afternoon? Would you let them pull out your beard from your face? Would you let them spit on you knowing all you had to do was say one word and you're dust, that's it. I just had to say one thing. That's all he had to done. He just had to say one thing. He could have called 10,000 angels. He just had to say one word. One thing, that's all he would have had to done. One thing, but he didn't do it. The Bible said that he endured the cross. He went through that being despised. Now he has sat down. The shame, he went through that. Now he has sat down on the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? He did it all for me. And all I have to do is say, yes, that's it. Yes, Lord. Somebody is actually in this building. I'm not going to call their name because I don't want to embarrass them, but I do want to use this as a reference, and they'll know who I'm talking about. Somebody actually had a conversation with me this week on a texting, saying, you know, I want to come back to him. I want to do more for him. I want to live for him. And I said, it's done. He's already said, come back. I see you in his house. What's that mean? I've come back. Now, what do? Receive his love. Don't judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Receive his love. I know God's ministering that person right now. Receive his love. You don't have to measure up to my standard. Receive his love. I'm not the guy that everybody has to meet those conditions. Nope, neither are you. Receive his love. Receive his love. It can't be that easy. Yes, it is. Receive his love. Receive his love. Why? He paid it all. Just get that. Believe that. He paid it all. Believe in more. Believe more in that he paid it all than what you're doing wrong right now. But I still got issues. We all got issues, baby. But I still make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But what am I confident in? He paid it all. He paid it all. We say, that's not enough. It's not complicated enough. That's right. It's not complicated. That's why the gospel is supposed to be connected to simplicity. The gospel's never supposed to be so deep we can't nobody understand it. The gospel, come on now. Everybody now, it's like we translate to this Greek word means this. This Hebrew word means that. We spend hours of reading. But I want you to understand, the Greek and Hebrew ain't going to mean nothing to you if you can't even understand the English. Come back to God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. But I got so much stuff in my life. I'm not asking you to give me an inventory of what's in your life. Receive his love. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Doc, can you pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 in the New Living Translation? Come home. That's all I'm saying. I don't need your list of I won't do this and I won't do that. I don't need that. And guess what? He's not asking for that either. Come home. Receive his love. Receive his love. Receive his love. Receive his love. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, you know what? Every one of us at some point mistakenly thought that same way. As though he were merely a human being. How different I think about him now. Glory. 17. I'm going to read all the way to 21. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. Okay, that should excite somebody. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. But my past, he didn't ask you about your past. If you come to him, you're a new person. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone. A new life has become. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. A new life has begun. 18. Read what I'm reading. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us, who's part of the us? Who believes? He has given us, the believers, the task of reconciling, calling back people to him. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Understand that God is not counting your sins against you. Heaven doesn't have a scoreboard, and every time you mess up, God's putting one on the board. Heaven is only counting your successes. Heaven is not recording your failures. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. Oh my goodness. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Look at your neighbor on both sides and tell him, be reconciled to God. Come on, look at him. Don't do no little smug, little smirk out of sight of your mouth. Look at him with the love of God flowing out of your eyes and just tell him, be reconciled to God. Look at this. For God made Christ. Look, y'all. No, 20. Go back to 20. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ plead himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Go 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Come back to God. Come back to him. Come back to God. Well, I've just done so much. Quit looking at what you've done. Come back to him. Believe in what he has done. Come back. Stand with me this morning. Believe in what he has done for you. Believe that he has a good plan for your life. Believe that he's thinking good thoughts about you. Does anybody in here today believe that? Who in here, by a show of not short hands but big, tall hands, believes that Jesus loves you? Big, tall hands. Hold them up. If that's you, hold them up. He loves. Now, with your hands lifted up, your own mouth, say these words. Jesus, I receive your love. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. I receive your love now. I receive your love now. All that you've done for me, I receive it now. I believe you, and I believe in you. Now I want you to make this confession. God is in me. God is with me. And God is for me. You believe what you just said? Say it again. God is in me. God is with me. God is for me. Thank you, Father. You are for me. You are for me.